Our passage tonight is out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, a local church's godly relationships relative to their secular overseers. Leader and subordinate roles in the local church at times can be reversed in the secular realm, for a leader in a local church might be a subordinate to one who is his superior in the workplace, be it a business or a government setting. Accordingly, 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2 directs not only local church leaders, but the whole church on the proper roles they each must have with one another, not only in the church, but also in the secular realm. And also, this also dips into the roles that we should have with unsaved people in the workplace or in government when we're in roles like that. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Let as many slaves as are under the yoke, that would be under the yoke of slavery, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine not be slandered or blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Well, in commenting on Paul's directives to Timothy on master and slave relationships in the local church, Dr. Charles Ryrie observed this instruction was especially needed since there may have been instances when slaves were elders and thus in the church they were over their masters whom they served all week. Can you imagine that? A slave coming to Christ and he's in the household and he becomes chosen by the congregation or elected or appointed to the position of elder. So in the church, he's an elder, and in the pew, sitting under his leadership, is his master. And during the week, his master is ruling him. And he has to obey his master or he gets crucified. So you can imagine the tremendous stress that this would produce. This is when slavery was that which was legal in the Roman Empire. And the Bible never condones slavery, but it says that if you find yourself as a slave, be a good slave. If you can purchase your freedom, purchase it, because that's easier and that's better. Because God wants us really not to be the slaves of men, but the servants of God. But nevertheless, when slavery was an institution that was instituted and legalized by the government, you had to be a good slave if you found yourself in the position of slavery. Now, though slavery is no longer a legal institution in our country, we may still have cases where one's role with another believer in business or in government realms may be reversed from his role in the local church. One of the members of our church who attends our church is the city clerk. And if I have business that we have to do, I go down to see her. Her name is Donna. And she's the clerk. And she's there and she runs the deal. If you have a situation where there's an animal in your house or there's a problem, then Danny LaPlante, her husband, is also on animal control. And when it comes to animals, he actually has more authority than the state police in the area, because he can actually arrest people because of animal abuse and so forth like that, where the police officer may not, because Danny is the one who has the training to make the judgment as to the welfare of the animal. Now that's interesting, but Danny, in our homes, he can actually come to the home if he deems a situation and actually arrest us because of the way we were mistreating our animals. But you wouldn't know that. He's a real gentleman, he's humble and everything. He sits in the pew back there with Donna, his wife. And yet she's the town clerk. So there's real government authority that's there, but in the church, they're not in positions of leadership per se. Well, accordingly, the 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 and 2 instruction bears careful application for us, for it supplies not only Timothy as a local church leader, but all believers today the proper pattern for relating well to one another in all of our secular roles, be they in the business or in the government realms, as follows. First of all, believers in the role as slave in the secular realm were to respect their masters, much like subordinate believers in the local church were to respect their local church elders. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, it says, let as many servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. I checked my Greek testament, worthy of all honor, and I found that, wow, this actually goes back to verse 17 of chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. There you have the reference to counted and worthy and honor. So I did a study and found that Paul taught that as many as, haso, that is all who, were slaves under the yoke, were to consider or regard hegeomai, their own masters, worthy of all honor. Now, significantly, the New Testament Greek words worthy, which is haxios and honor, timeis, in 1 Timothy 6:1, reflect exactly how church elders were to be considered worthy. Haxiousthoson, it's the same word haxios, but in the verbal form. And of honor, timeis, the same thing as back in 1 Timothy 5:17. So in other words, as subordinates in the local church were to honor their local church leaders, Christian slaves were to express similar honor to their masters in the secular realm, even if they were unsaved. Now this is amazing. The respect and the honor that you are supposed to grant to a church leader is the respect and honor that God wants you to exert towards a secular boss, even if he's unsaved, or a secular government official over you, even if he's unsaved. Wow, that's heavy, isn't it? But that's the respect that God wants us to have. The reason is we have a testimony to uphold, and God wants us to be presenting ourselves before the world as law-abiding people, people who fit within the order and the arrangement of society. We're supposed to be seen as people who add to and do not detract from order in society. So if we're supposed to be citizens, we're supposed to be good citizens and respectful citizens, citizens that obey the law. So this respect of believing servants for their masters was necessary to uphold the local church's testimony before the world that expected masters to be respected by their slaves. You notice the last part of verse 1, that the name of God and his teaching not be slandered. See, that's the real issue here. We as Christians are marked people. I heard someone tell me today that the Christian is the most observed person on the face of the earth. Because if he has the Holy Spirit within him and people know that he's a Christian, they're going to be watching every move he makes. I've had people come to the church and who have joined the church. And one man told me, he said, Pastor, when I first came, I'd gotten burned by ministers. He'd come from another religion. But he said, every single move you made, every bit of body language you presented, I was watching, I was weighing it very carefully. I wanted to find out what kind of a person you were. And I didn't know that, thankfully, you know, because that would have made me tense and nervous. But he was watching every single move. Same is true in the neighborhood. People in my neighborhood, they know I'm a pastor because all they have to do is check the phone book and they put Reverend in there. I don't, but they do, the people do. So they watch every move. They watch how and when I mow my lawn, whether I do my gardening work and how I relate to them when we have situations that come up. Issues that come up. When my neighbor accidentally built part of a swimming pool on my property, that got a little ticklish situation, but we solved it. I said, look, why don't we get a lawyer who represents us both and let him hammer it out for us? And he did. And the neighbor paid for it because, you know, he'd made the mistake. But we got a variance that allowed him to use that property, but he's liable for any accidents or injuries that occur because of the pool. And then if he ever moves his pool, he has to return the property back to the original state. But it solved the situation, and it kept the testimony, and there's a good relationship there, thankfully. But we are on call all the time as witnesses of Jesus Christ, and so we've got to uphold our Lord. Now, in the case where a believer as a slave had a believing master, Paul directed that he not look down on or despise or treat with contempt. That's the Greek word katafroneo, his believing master. Rather, he was to serve that master. Douluo is the word that is a slave, and the word serve, doulos is a servant, but the word douluo is the verbal form of servant or serve to a greater degree, malon is more, than were he an unbeliever. For that master who benefited from his service was a beloved believer. Notice verse 2, they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. Let them serve them all the more, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. See, when you're serving a master who's a fellow believer, even in a slaver relationship, you have to remember you're working for your brother in Christ. He's a beloved brother. So you give him all the more work, all the more commitment, because he is a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these orders are not qualified relative to local church roles. So their application for us is very stunning. If a believer is a subordinate to another Christian in a secular realm, that would be the government realm or a business, something like that, regardless, or military, for example, regardless if their roles as leader and subordinate are reversed in the local church, in the secular realm, the subordinate is to honor the other believer over him with the same honor that he would give where he is local church leader. That's something. Now, the subordinate believer must then serve that believing superior in his secular role with even more fervor and subordination than he would an unsaved superior, for his overseer is a beloved brother. So the lesson is the same kind of respect and obedience that we must give local church leaders is to be carried over to our overseers in the secular realm, be it government or business, and we are to show even more honor and give greater service if our superiors are believers. In this way, we practice what is fitting before an onlooking world, and we respect fellow beloved believers in the secular realm as God wills. So maybe we relate this way to one another in our secular roles to be pleasing to the Lord. We've just finished, Dave Slate heads the detail up, the painting the fellowship hall in the room immediately behind us here. And I've always been interested in this. Dave had started this ministry a number of years ago where we were painting the outside of the church and we're doing one wall per year. And we basically had finished much of the church on the outside. It really doesn't need to have a paint job done again right away. So he said, why don't we start in the fellowship hall this year? So we did. And it's interesting, the relationship that I have with Dave, when it comes to the construction work of the church, such as painting in the outside, painting in the inside, Dave is the one who has the expertise in that area. I don't. It's true, my father was a builder. But he built, with mud brick and plaster and everything. It was a completely different type of a situation than wood frame. And Dave works with wood frame all the time. And so when we first started working out, I said, no, Dave, look, I may be the pastor of the church, but this is your realm. You're the leader. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. So he found out what my skill level was in various areas, and so he applied me to do it. So it's always been interesting. I show up and he says, well, Don, I'm thinking about this and this and this. What if you do this and this? Okay. And he doesn't refer me to pastor there because I'm not in the pastor role. You know, he's kind of like he's the boss, so he calls me Don, and that's fine. I go along with that. And that's exactly what I feel I should do. I feel before the Lord this is where it's my opportunity to obey this because it's almost like a secular realm. Dave is kind of like my foreman at that particular point. It may be dealing with the church, but he knows paint. He knows construction, so I do what Dave tells me to do. And when we had the work day here, at one point he said, you know, we need to start cleaning the paint up. I've got a scraper there. Would you like to pick? I said, sure. So I was down on the floor on my knees, you know, and cleaning it up. And I delight to do that because that's right before the Lord. This afternoon, after the worship service, after the worship service, I was in Fellowship Hall, and Mike Terwilliger, you know, the one who installed the posts out here around the pump. He pointed out how he'd put the rocks there within the posts because he didn't know if he had enough rocks to carry the area, but he says it's a little high. And he'd given recommendation at one point earlier. They said, I think it would look better if the rocks were spread out and covered the area just slightly beyond the posts rather than, it looks a little too formal this way. If you spread it out, it'd be better. But he said, I put the rocks inside because I didn't know if I had enough at the time. But he says, I think I've got enough. But he says, if you wanted to do that, I said, okay. And Mike has worked with installing rocks like that for years and years. I mean, he's an expert in regards to digging up the ground and working with the soil and so forth. And he made that recommendation. So tomorrow, before VBS starts, I'm going to be out there with a rake, and raking the stones out. Why? Because Mike recommended that would be a good thing to do. And hey, in that realm, he's the boss. And it's my delight to be able to obey or to follow his lead. So I think it's important for us as Christians to recognize that we all have different hats that we wear. We're in different roles. But when it comes to respecting another believer who is over us in some realm that is other than ours, God wants us to respect that leader as though he were our elder or our pastor over us and to do what he would want us to do. That's what I try to practice in my own life. And if that happens, it becomes a tremendous and a very positive testimony to the community around us. Well, in regards to these rocks, one day I was out there after Micah put them in. I was measuring them because I'm a perfectionist. And I noticed one was up an inch higher than the others. And my neighbor got a kick out of over here. And he came over and he said, "Are they the same height?" I said, "No, one's an inch off." He says, "Why'd you have Mike come over here and pound it in the ground more?" And I wasn't about to do that. And I said, "Well, part of the charm is the fact that the rocks are uneven. I mean, they're kind of rustic, so we want them slightly uneven anyway." Well, I found out from Mike today what happened. He had pulled those big stones out in order to make room on the one side where those rocks were, and they'd put the dirt back in and packed it. Well, when you pack the dirt back in, you put the stones in, you can't just drive the stone down because the dirt is firm. And since it was only an inch off, he said, "We're just going to leave it. I don't want to have to pull the stone out and redig it." So that's why he left it. And I was kidding Mike about that today. But the neighbor, he just, you know, he's beside himself with glee. And I'm out there measuring with a stick. He thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. But he thoroughly enjoys seeing me get involved out there, you know, doing something that he would do as a regular person. And he delights in that. In fact, when I first went out there and they had the fence, and I was painting out there 8 hours one day, I think, when it first started, he said it actually made him feel good to see the pastor out there in his overalls or whatever, and just painting. And I didn't know that it made him feel relaxed, but you never know what's going to be a testimony. So God wants us to excel in how we submit to one another in whatever realm we're in. And if we do that, we'll have a good testimony, and that can open doors for people coming to Christ.